took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome again to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
I'm Pastor Barry.
Oh, Matt, it's good to be back, brother.
Yeah, haven't seen you in a long time.
I know, it's been seconds. Yeah, we record three shows at one time. So The theme for today's program is God's mercy, the heart of the gospel message. Most of you know this, but it seemed right and proper for us to kind of unpack this a little bit.
Yes, sir.
And there were two scriptures that came to us. We were developing this program. I'd like to share them with you. First one is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, where Peter writes, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, both of these, and there's so much more scripture that talks about salvation issue, but these two point to God's mercy, you know, and that's the cutting edge for understanding. Well, first of all, why we need to be saved, because God wants to save us. We're not in a place where if we don't know the Lord, we're not going to have eternity with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we'll have an eternity, but it will not be any fun. And so the heart of the gospel message is God's mercy. Now, we often think of justice, and there are some authors, I've been reading a lot on God's mercy, and some authors will say, and I'm not going to disagree with them, but to say that God's mercy is really his perfect justice.
Right.
Others make a distinction, you know, that justice we think of in terms of the law, that you have broken a law, the law gives, the statutes give certain things that can apply to you because you broke the law, based on a lot of factors. And then you're judged on the basis of what you did and those mitigating factors, and then a sentence is issued.
And you throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Well, yes, and in some cases it doesn't work as well in human courts, although sometimes it does. But with God, and this has to do with our basic sin nature, because our sin is an offense to God. Now you can say, well, why he made us that way? Why? And I say, the why question is a waste of time. Because the fact is that our sin is abhorrent to God. And if we do not do anything to reach an acquittal on that crime, we're going to have a life sentence in hell. That's just the way it is.
That's it.
That's why God provided, not because of his justice, because then we just get what we deserve, which would be hell, but because of his mercy, that Christ Jesus took the hit for us on the cross. He died for us. He took the death penalty for the capital crime of our sin, so that in Christ we can have that acquittal and have eternal life with God. And that's why the mercy, I don't know how many churches are preaching on the mercy of God in this way.
Well, they need to, because people hear the word mercy.
Yeah.
But then they look at their sin and they look at mercy and they don't see that the mercy can overcome any of their sin. You can't out sin mercy if you accept it. Not that I'm suggesting anybody try that. But and this is a satanic thing. This is where the devil whispers in your ear, that mercy is not going to work on you.
Yeah.
Because look what you did, and here comes that pointing finger again. You did this, you did this, you know, and your sins are abhorrent to God, and how dare you even think that you can be forgiven?
Amen.
Yeah. You know, this is a lesson here for all of us, too. If memory serves me right, we're forgiven by God in the way we forgive people.
There's a, yeah, there's that, you know, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples is to forgive me in the manner in which I forgive others.
That's right. And how is that?
How's that?
Yeah. But, you know, that's why this is all the good news, my friends. You know, this is a gift. There's no scorecard.
Exactly.
This is not bowling or golf. You don't have a scorecard.
It's frankly not even horseshoes, you know, where you say, well, close enough. No, but because, but it's very important that a believer, because our God, our job as believers is to share our witness to Christ Jesus with others, how he came into our life, what God is doing to transform us, to bless us, you know, that what happened that before Christ, I was this wretched creature.
Mm-hmm.
And like Paul or St. Peter writes, once you were not a people, once you had not received mercy. Well, right. The once is that period of time before you could accept Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but now you are God's people. But he's speaking to people who have accepted Jesus for who he is, for the Son of God, the Savior of humanity by virtue of the sacrifice he made on the cross. And he said, and so, but once you had not received mercy, well, because mercy has to be received, I have to say, I want to receive it,
mm-hmm.
right? God won't force his mercy on you.
No.
He won't. If you believe, your lifestyle without God is great, and it's going to take you to great places, and you end up before the throne of God at the end of time, and you have nothing to offer. There's no one to stand beside you like Jesus would to a believer and say to God, you know, I've done this for him. You're up there on your own. You're going to take the hit
mm-hmm.
for a sinful life that's been unredeemed. I don't want that to happen to you.
No.
Nobody, even God. God does not take any pleasure in judgment. And yet, because of God, who he is, if you haven't followed what he has laid out so directly, so mm-hmm. clearly in his word and through the witness of millions, if not billions, of believers over time, if you haven't done that.
Well, David, people don't accept the gift for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the way they were raised, where they were guilt-ridden, you know, look what you've done. Now look what you've done, and that kind of stuff. I got a story. I'm a chaplain for nursing homes, and one of them that I worked in, this has happened several years ago, had a very unusual friendship. You know those little animal stories where, you know, look, the uh-huh. alligator's friends with the duck.
Yeah.
Well, in this building I was in, we had a 96-year-old nun, a retired Catholic nun, who was living in the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an 80-year-old former Hell's Angel biker who fully embraced the Hell's Angel philosophy of life, if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
As he liked to brag about, I've broken all the commandments many, many times. But these two ended up being friends. They read the morning paper together. They drank their coffee together. They laughed together. But every day, this old retired nun would look up at him from her wheelchair saying, I'll call him Charlie. You know, Charlie?
Yeah.
If you don't get right with the Lord, if you don't accept his mercy, you're going straight to hell. And he would laugh at her and call her names. He called her a twisted sister one time. And then they wouldn't speak for a good 10 minutes, and they go back to doing the New York Times crossword puzzle. It was just fun to watch them. Mm-hmm. They really did. I think they loved each other. But one day we were having church service. And, of course, she wanted to assist me, you know, mm-hmm. because she's still, quote, unquote, a nun. You know?
Right.
And this guy, Charlie, in his wheelchair, was going back and forth in the periphery, but would never come in. And she turned her wheelchair, and I knew it was going to happen. I just saw it in her face, that determination. She went out in the hallway. And if you ever notice, sometimes the elderly don't whisper anymore. There's no whispering. And she said, Charlie, this is the day. You're coming with me. You're going to go to that altar, and you're going to get right with the Lord.
Wow.
And she physically dragged his wheelchair in.
No kidding.
And she gave the nun's finger to him, her index finger. This is what you're going to do now.
Right.
And I watched the man's face. And in a series of seconds, as he rolled toward me and saw the cross, he began to cry.
Ah.
And a lifetime of sin was poured out in front of the cross. And he looked up at this cross and said, "My Lord, my God."
Wow.
And he asked for forgiveness. And that was the moment where everything changed. And folks, this is a true story. This man began to be more compliant. He was more polite. The language cleaned up. If he was told to go to physical therapy before, he would throw something at a nurse, and now he was in physical therapy working out. And he truly loved this old nun. Yeah. And they continued to fight every day and have their coffee every day. And one day he wheeled up to me and said, "Sister Rose," I said her name, "she's not doing well." And he's the one who brought me to her room to pray for her because she had gone through a spell. You know.
Yeah.
But of all people, he was the one that saw the value of prayer and the value of being a good minister to your flock.
Wow.
And I love when that veil's pulled back, David. We talk about that. And you get to witness these changed lives when they finally accept this gift that God's just waiting to give us. And he had to stumble and fall over all of his problems. And he was guilt-ridden.
Of course.
I never wanted to hear everything he did, but we had a lot of assumptions, and we were probably correct. But another life saved. Another person who's not going to be in that lake of fire.
And it underscores what we're talking about, the difference between justice and mercy. That when he came up at that service to the cross, to the foot of the cross, if you will, it was not justice that was meted out, it was God's mercy.
Right.
Because, and he himself knew the sins. I mean, he was an outlaw biker. I mean, if you're an outlaw biker, I mean, you know what your life looks like. And if you're listening to this radio program and you're an unsaved outlaw biker, the chances are very good that God has got you to this point so that you can receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and give your life to him.
And there are Christian bikers out there, David.
There are.
And
there
it's
are.
Wonderful to witness. They do some great things for the community. Good guys, good guys.
Yep,
I've witnessed that too, how they support their fellow bikers and families.
Yeah.
And
so God loves, he'll reach everybody. There's nobody that can't be in the kingdom of God. If we just follow that basic, that one, there's only one plan. Plan of salvation. God figured it out. Well, he didn't figure it out because he didn't need to. He already knew it before he made the universe. And that was through Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father, Jesus says himself.
Right.
And that's what we believe. And if especially right now, if you're hearing this and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, and you're beginning your interest, more than your interest is being piqued, your heart is turning over because you're anxious with what your life is like. I'm just feel like just leading whoever's hearing this in the prayer of salvation.
Please do that, because that's a prompting of the Holy Spirit.
It really is, and to know that all this comes from God's mercy, no matter what you've done, no matter how horrible your life has been. And if you're thinking, well, I've never been horrible, you know, I've never done anything bad, you're still a sinner. And God wants to save you. And it begins by coming before the Lord, and saying, admitting your sin. So just follow me in prayer. It says, Father God, I am a sinner. I have fallen again and again because of sin. I have failed to make any mark of any value. My life is empty. I've hurt people. I've hurt myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I am truly lost. But I'm hearing that if I speak to you, if I open my heart to you, that Jesus, you will come into my heart today if I repent of my sins. And so, Lord, I can't remember them all, but you know every one. So I just bring the whole package to you today and ask for your forgiveness, for you to come into my heart. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, as Lord. Save me and heal me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And if you've prayed that prayer and meant it, then your life has started to change.
This moment in time.
This very moment. If you're not aware of a Bible-believing church, I pray that you'll look for one. God and ask God to lead you. I mean, the same God that just saved you, you know, is
he knows where you need to go.
He knows where you need to go.
Right.
And it, don't put a time frame on it, but he will take you to a Bible-believing, God-honoring church where you can grow as a disciple, and you can have then a witness to share, and they'll help you. A good church will help you be a disciple.
And a kingdom builder.
Kingdom, exactly, a kingdom builder. Mm-hmm. Because now, see, here's the thing. When Peter wrote to the church and he said, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's the people of God who are living in the grace of mercy that have hope for the lost. That's it. You know, I mean, and you can write volumes on that, and many have, but that's the bottom line.
It's the bottom line, and that's what we call the body of Christ, the church.
The church, exactly.
Not the building.
Right, exactly. Not the building. It's never the building.
Right.
You can be the church anywhere, and that's a whole other thing that one day we'll get back to the home church and other models. But but if there's a bricks-and-mortar church or a home church God leads you to, start there. He may not mean for you to be there until he returns, you know. But it's a good place to start, and then he may move you on. But go there. And also, we would love to hear from you if, you know, I forgot to mention this in the last episode, but we have an email address. We'd love to hear from you if, especially if you found the Lord and you'd like some prayer or you have comments about our programs. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. It's our email address. No one has written to us yet, but it takes a while to get the word out.
Well, sure.
You know, so that's okay. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Comments or complaints, you know, either
whatever
one.
You got, just share your thoughts with us.
And there's one brother out there that really does find little things that, you know, may concern him. And when writing, but if you're hearing this, brother, if you want to go in the email and do that, save paper and a stamp. We still love to hear from you, for sure. Anybody. But back to, we have a few minutes yet before we end this segment. You had something that was bubbling up inside of you while I was just talking. So let it out, brother.
Bubbling up?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a big deal. It's an observation from people outside the church. You know, we talk about people outside the church wondering just what we're talking about in there.
Yeah.
Why are they so enthusiastic? In fact, in the nursing home, I've had residents who don't come to church. Believe it or not, there's 89-year-old, 90-year-old atheists out there, David.
I believe it.
And they will ask my people that are attending, you know, why do you go in there? What's going on in there? And I told my little elderly sheep, I said, don't take that personally, and don't take that with offense, because that may be their way of saying, tell me more.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be part of this people that you belong to, because I'm watching you go through the same thing that I'm going through, and yet you go through it with grace and dignity and this mysterious joy that I do not understand.
Right.
And I'm so happy. I don't want to say proud, but I'm just happy with the fact that my little groups in these nursing homes are going out and about when I'm not there doing my job.
Which is great.
Yeah. They're bringing people to the cross. And maybe this is a whole nother message for anybody out there who's listening, who may be approaching your 100th birthday or your 99th birthday, and you're asking the Lord, why am I still here? Yeah. This hurts, that hurts. I can't do this, can't do that. Why? And I think the answer, this is my interpretation, but my answer would be, if you're a disciple of Christ, there's more people that need to hear about Christ through you.
Amen.
There is no retirement plan.
None.
In the body of Christ. I haven't seen it, David.
Not on earth.
No.
The great plan, of course, is in the kingdom.
Sure. And, but while you're still here, and you've got the breath of life, you know, there's more people out there that need to be bought into the family.
You know, even to say, I don't know if I told this story before, and it's not a long one, fortunately, because we only have about 6 minutes. But when I was doing hospice chaplaincy, and I remember particularly there was one patient I had who was a believing Christian, and we had a chance to talk before near the end came and he was comatose. He wasn't, you know, he was in the process of dying. But at that point, my ministry, well, I stayed with, my ministry was to him, but also more to the family because he was coming to the end. And from one person and then the other, and in fact, from almost all the family that had gathered around him, I heard the same story. And that was that my patient in his life, when he came to Christ, and he had apparently, he was not a nice guy when he didn't know Jesus, but had a clear conversion experience when Christ came into his life, and for a long enough time that he had a chance to share his witness with everybody, wonderful. Family. And so the people there were saying, you know, he changed my life. And although he was laying there, and I'm, of course, hearing's the last thing to go, so I'm sure he was hearing that, and what a blessing. But to hear witness after witness of people saying he led me to Christ, not so much personally, but because I saw Jesus in him. And so when we talk about God's mercy, we need to understand God is certainly able to use us as instruments of his mercy, to telegraph that mercy, to broadcast that mercy, even after we personally are unable. If we've been willing, when we could, to receive Christ and his grace, and to recognize that salvation is a merciful act, and I'm so thankful, I just have to tell you about it, and I've done it and I've lived it, that even when you're at the end of life and you can't say anything, then your life, Jesus will use their memories of your life to continue that witness to mercy. Although we did have one patient who at the end of life, comatose for a week or so, actually came to lucidity.
Really?
Just before they passed. He said, "Hallelujah." He said, "I see Jesus." Then he died. Now, hey, I want that story. I want people to tell that about me.
We can't pick the way we go, but I want to go like that.
Oh, no. But see, this is the thing. Gosh, folks, you know, and now I'm speaking to the unsaved more than the saved. But hey, even the saved, we got to remember to let God so fill us with this wonderful mercy of his that what comes out of us in our receipt of it is just a rich testimony to that which only God can give us and that we desperately need. But when we get it, it's like, wow. It's like giving an 8-year-old the key to a candy store. In a way, that's maybe not a good, but that's my metaphor.
I was going to say donut shop.
Donut shop, okay.
I'm more about donuts.
Yeah, me too. Especially the chocolate donuts with the glaze on them.
Oh,
Ooh. Oh man, I'm sorry.
We'll be right back. We have to go get some donuts.
Yeah, but it's just an awesome thing, and I can't give it better words.
How much time do we have left, David?
We have about, let's say, 4 minutes.
I have a story, too. One of my residents in a nursing home was an old radio personality. I won't mention his name, but he was not a believer. And he would come into the worship services and just, he would dismantle whatever program that we were trying to get done. You know, he was always interfering and making fun of all the Christians, and he was a hot mess. He had special names for me. I think I was Pastor Boy or something like that. Very insulting. Well, yeah. We had a woman that worked there who preaches Christ 24/7, and she was not going to take no for an answer, and she wormed her way into his life to the point where I went into the lobby one day when I got to work, and she ran up to me, and she's a spunky little thing. She said, "Are you still able to run at your advanced age?" And I said, "Yeah." So I had to run with her. We ran way, way to the other end of the building to this guy, this curmudgeon's room, and he was actively dying.
Okay.
And I believed that he wasn't conscious, but you just mentioned, the hearing is the last thing to go.
Yeah.
And so this woman, she is kind of funny. She doesn't think she is. She opened his eyelids with her fingers.
Okay.
She said, "Do you see me?" And there was a moment, and a tear came down his eye. She said, "We talked about this 1,000 times. Are you ready to come to Jesus?" And he nodded his head, and tears ran down his face, and we baptized him and brought him to Christ about 3 minutes before he passed. Wow. But when he passed, though, his face had this serene expression on it of tranquility and peace, and the tears running down. He died with tears running down his face.
Wow.
And I always look at her thinking, wow, you know, I've had training, and I do this, I do that. That's how strong a Christian I want to be.
Me too.
You know, sometimes people pop up in your life, Dave, and you say, I want to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd share that because it's never too late.
Story. It's never too late. No.
No, no.
And that's the thing we need to, because the devil will really come in behind and say, well, you missed the opportunity, you know, and then also he'll add to that probably, well, and when you look at all your sin over 40, 50, 60 years or more, you know, how can God forgive all of that?
Right.
You know, and then he'll also come and say, and, you know, for God to forgive it, you got to remember everything, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't. Who can remember? I couldn't remember what I did yesterday.
No.
You know, much less all, you know, our 72 years worth of sin.
I think our forgotten sins are piling up higher than whatever we're walking around feeling guilty about.
So, you know, you got to have that faith, you know, to say, to tell the devil, you're wrong because you're a liar and that's the best you can do is lie.
Mm-hmm.
That God will forgive me even if I can't remember the name of any of my sins.
Sure.
And he'll do it if I'm 10 seconds away from dying.
Mm.
You know, that's it. That's a great story. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Almost time to say goodbye, brother. You have any last words?
Oh, wow. He just said last words. Well, I was feeling good when I woke up this morning. Yeah. There's a gift on a beautiful holy hand presented in front of you. Take it. Accept it. Pull that gift into your heart. Come to Jesus. Amen.
And you can reach us again at gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. God bless y'all. We'll talk to you next week.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Where there is no way.